Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 1. Just a little intro here before we get to the reading. We're at a time where King David is on his deathbed. David is about ready to make one of the biggest last decisions of his reign. And see, it comes at a time when his oldest son has exalted himself and with political intrigue proclaimed himself as king. But remember, David has promised that Solomon would be rule after him. And so King David takes one of his last actions as king to make it so. And here was what is recorded for us. King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." So they came before the king, and the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon!' He shall then come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king, "Amen. May the Lord, the God of my Lord, the king, say so. As the Lord has been with my Lord, the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord, King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule, and brought him down to Gihon. There Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpets, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. And King David said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted someone to sit on my throne this day, my own eyes seeing it." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is parade day for the Christian church. Each of the Gospels has this celebration parade that we call Palm Sunday. The crowds, of course, don't throw ticker tape, but they do wave palms. There's no brass band playing a nice Sousa march, but there are a bunch of pilgrims chanting the Psalms of God. The honoree, he's not riding a nice red convertible, but rather a donkey. The pomp and circumstance of this parade was really nothing compared to the grand parades of Greece and Rome. But boy, the air is thick with anticipation and with celebration. And Jesus? Jesus is actually acting differently today than he has for the other 3 years of his ministry. Rather than sort of avoiding these adoring fans, rather than sort of slipping away like he often did over the past 3 years, Jesus seems to be claiming the glory and even magnifying it. After all, he's on the back of a donkey. So, it's not a very impressive thing to ride. I mean, it's a beast of burden and can be stubborn sometimes. I mean, shouldn't Jesus at least be on a nice war stallion all decked out? No, not at all, because that didn't communicate the same thing. In choosing the donkey, Jesus is actually cranking the amp up on the crowd's expectations. In riding this donkey into Jerusalem, Jesus is visibly claiming the kingship of David, his ancestor. We heard a little bit about the political intrigue surrounding the successor to David in our first reading. As King David was on his deathbed, it's Absalom's brother who has laid a claim on the throne, conveniently excluding Solomon and the important prophets and priests of the day. When David hears of the treachery, he passes the kingship to Solomon, which he had promised to do. To pass that kingship, he has Solomon ride his own donkey to Gion, where he is anointed by the priest to be king. And then there was a big parade, a parade that went up to Jerusalem, where Solomon would be seated on David's throne. And along the way, he was hailed, King Solomon, long live King Solomon. So really, when David's greater son, Jesus, enters on a donkey, the crowd responded. The palm branches cut, the garments strewn, the rejoicing and the praising God with a loud voice for all of the mighty works they had seen, the hailing of this king, Hosanna, son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. And I really think that we should hear these words the way that we should hear or what they recorded when Solomon went into Jerusalem. Those pilgrims were rejoicing with such great joy that the earth was split by their noise. But then what? The parade didn't really disperse. It would have come into Jerusalem. And John tells us what happens very soon after this. You see, two Greeks want to come and see Jesus. And the way Jesus responds is, again, pumping up the volume. Jesus says to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it. I will glorify it again." Now, Jesus says, is the judgment of the world. Now, the ruler of this world will be cast out. Now. Now, Jesus says, and the crowds could hear that word, and the excitement would continue to grow. It could be very easy to hear just these words of power and to rejoice all the more mightily. Now's the time. Yes, we've been waiting. But Jesus also hints at what the actual parade of his glory will be like. Because mixed in with those phrases of power and glory, Jesus also says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus also says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, deliver me from this hour? But for this purpose, I have come to this hour." And Jesus says, "When I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So this Palm Sunday parade, it will continue through the week, just not quite the way the Passover pilgrims thought. And yes, this parade would have the trappings of royalty. Yes, Jesus would have royal robes, but they would be put on him in mockery and as a farce. Jesus would have a ruler's scepter thrust into his hand, but that same scepter had been used to beat him, and it would be used to beat him again when it was taken from him. And Jesus would have a crown, but it would be of thorns and not of gold. And Jesus would have another royal parade, one that leads out of Jerusalem. And the crowds that had hailed him as their king just a few days before would be startled to learn that he's been under the order of execution. And they will again begin to line the streets, but this time they will be mourning for Jesus along that road that leads to Golgotha. And there indeed, Jesus is lifted up from the earth, and he is set on a different throne. Above his head is the one tribute that Pilate would give: "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." But even at the cross, the parade goes on. Except now it's his enemies who are marching around him, continuing the mocking and the jeering. "He saved others. Let him save himself. Let God rescue him if God wants him. Come down, and we will believe you are the Son of God." But instead of a miracle, the Lord of life, instead of demonstrating his power and his authority, breathes his last. And the parade continues. As a very small band of faithful women, and even a couple of disciples who had previously hid themselves as disciples, accompany his lifeless body to the tomb. The time is short. The sun is setting. Only the bare necessities of the burial are done. And with very little ceremony, the seed is planted in the ground, dead. And yet, the parade goes on. The Father glorifies the Son.
The judgment is rendered. The ruler of this world is cast out. The parade marches through the immaterial realm. As St. Peter writes, he went and proclaimed his victory to the spirits in prison. And as Paul writes, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. And the parade goes on. At first, again, it's only a small group of women who are bewildered. They were marching out to finish that hasty job from a couple of days ago. But they are greeted with a new message. I know you look for Jesus. He is not here. He has been raised. And the parade goes on with two disciples walking down the road, discouraged at the events that have happened, confused by the women's witness that Jesus is alive. And they're joined. They're joined by another one, the hidden Christ, who taught them along the way and revealed himself at the dinner. And that parade goes on because those guys hurry back to a room full of disciples, breathlessly telling them what they had just witnessed. And as they're telling their story, Jesus appears in the room and he shares peace with his disciples and he shares a meal with them. And that parade keeps on going. Jesus sharing peace with Thomas, who had doubted, with James, and with Paul. The message of the resurrection of Jesus, it continues to spread. And wherever the good news is spoken, there will always be some who are caught up in this triumphant progression of faith, procession of faith, as Paul puts it. And down through the centuries, this parade of victory over sin and death, it's been echoing throughout the world through word and through song, beginning in Jerusalem, going into Judea and Samaria, to the very ends of the earth and to the very ends of time. This triumphant procession coming to even us all these years later. In your baptism and in the continuous hearing of the word of message of Christ, you have been swept up in this triumphant procession. And the parade that began on Palm Sunday so many years ago, it comes to us every time we have a communion service. As we recognize Christ coming to us in a special way in the bread and the wine, what do we sing? Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And this parade will go on. Now, Jesus doesn't promise that this triumphant procession will always look glorious. In fact, what he has promised his disciples is that there will be trials and there will be tribulations. He calls his disciples to take up their cross. But no matter what this life throws at us, this triumphant procession continues on because of where it's going. This parade will go on to its glorious finish. This parade is always moving forward to the day when Jesus will come again, this time not riding on the back of a donkey, but riding on the clouds. The day when the trumpet call of God awakens the dead and we will be changed. The day when Jesus will come again, surrounded not just by the Passover pilgrims, but surrounded by the saints throughout time. And what started with palm branches is going to continue with palm branches into all eternity. As John sees in the Revelation, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So we continue. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Jew.
God's blessings.